Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hour number three on this Wednesday afternoon. Chad Hartman with you. And we are pleased to be joined for the first time on the show by new Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara. Brian is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on. I saw this news as it was breaking yesterday. It's pointed out again today that the city council has approved a budget which funds 731 full-time officer positions. Within the Star Tribune story, sir, it says that's not new, but the city's had difficulty filling those positions and is about 260 officers short of that minimum. Are they right? Do you have 471 officers with the Minneapolis Police Department right now?
No, Chad, that math doesn't add up quite right. I'm not sure what they're subtracting on, but we have slightly over about 550 officers now, which is about 300 down collectively since, you know, prior to the pandemic.
Do you see a path for more? And I would get that your answer would be yes. But I hear from a lot of people who say, at one point I wanted to be an officer. I don't. It's too difficult. It doesn't pay the scrutiny. Yeah. And if you see it getting to that 700 number, how far away is that?
Yes. Well, thank you for pointing that out. And, you know, you mentioned the budget. So I do want to state the budget for next year has the bare minimum number of officers budgeted that we are required to have based upon the charter. So what's important to remember about that is, and why that's significant in talking about the civilian positions that were cut from here, is that doesn't allow us much wiggle room to hire additional civilians to do work on things, for example, like the consent decree that we expect to have next year. Now, in terms of filling the ranks that we do have so that we get to that minimum, there are clearly a number of challenges. However, you know, I'm optimistic that we will be able to do some work, hopefully, to eliminate some of the barriers that do exist to try and encourage more people from the city of Minneapolis to become a part of the police department. You know, look, this is not a profession that you're going to get rich on, right? But this is something I think there is an incredible amount of positive energy in the community now at this time. There's a lot of people who want to be a part of making something different. And I think we need to be very intentional about going out and trying recruiting people from the city who want to be a part of positive change in their neighborhoods. And now, to the extent that there are barriers that sort of prohibit people specifically from the city to becoming police officers, we're going to do everything we can to eliminate those barriers and to help more people from the city become cops here.
What are those barriers, sir?
Well, there's a number. I mean, there's stuff that exists at the state level. There's certain post requirements that are unique to this state, with folks requiring college and folks needing certain skills training prior to becoming a police officer. And then there's other barriers in terms of just the reality of urban America today, trying to deal with issues of perception around policing particularly in cities. And also, it's obviously more pronounced in this city. I think we need to be very intentional about reaching out to the young people that are here, engaging them more, and to try and tap into some of those altruistic values that people do here have. I think there's a lot of people that do want to see this city change. They're upset. They've been traumatized by the things that they've lived through, and people need to see a path for them to be able to be a part of making change real.
Let's talk about two very different groups and pick up on what you've said so far. Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara is kind enough to join us here on CCO. For the individual, and I'm talking about the individual who used to come to downtown Minneapolis, not the person who never came down, because they should be in a separate category. But yeah, they hear you, and they hear that number 550, and they pay attention to some of the numbers, and I want to get to how some of those numbers have dropped compared to last year. But they hear those numbers, they talk to friends, and they still feel like downtown Minneapolis is not safe enough at certain times of the day and certain locations. What can you say directly to those individuals who are open-minded to convince them to come back?
I think, and I know a number of the corporations here have actually looked at the data and facts, and the reality is downtown Minneapolis is very safe the majority of the time during the day, in the evening, during the week. Downtown Minneapolis is the center of the entire region in this country for things to do. And we've done some very intentional things to increase police presence and visibility downtown in the business district during the day, and also to increase safety late at night and during bar close when we do historically have problems with crime and violence. And I think the best thing, talking to folks from downtown and people who are here, the best thing is for people to come here and to see it for themselves, because this really is the center of the region. There is nowhere else you can go to get all of the attractions, the entertainment, the bars, everything that this place has to offer. And I've seen it myself. Early Saturday morning, there were just hundreds and hundreds of people downtown Minneapolis in bars watching the World Cup. And it's just great to see things like that, to see all these people coming from all over taking up space and spending time downtown and seeing for themselves that it is actually safe.
So let me jump in on that, because I agree there are a lot of people. But as somebody who's lived here a long time and knows a lot of people either who work at prominent bars and restaurants or own these places in downtown Minneapolis, they continually tell me that at 11, 12 o'clock, it changes in a way where it didn't change that way 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Now, it's a little different now because it's winter and it feels like 5 degrees out compared to summer when it feels like 85. What about that time of night? I mean, do you feel like that you've made progress in that area, or can we really measure that until we get to spring and summer again next year?
Well, I do believe we have made progress in that area, and I do believe we are on a track now to be even better prepared for next year. I think next year, in partnership with the downtown district and some funding that the council has reserved specifically for downtown, I think basically from Cinco de Mayo to the end of the season in Halloween, we will be better prepared to do sort of non-law enforcement measures to create safer spaces. I think next summer people will see more street closures downtown, a change in the dynamic. A lot of these incidents around bars involve, particularly when there's gun violence, involve drunk people getting into fights and going back to their cars and getting a weapon in the heat of the moment. We're going to do things to try and change that dynamic, close off streets, and sort of change the feel of downtown, even late at night, to prevent things like that from happening. In addition, there is a very dynamic late night staffing plan where we have significantly increased police presence late at night downtown when bars are closing, and that's happening now, and that will continue to happen. But I think next year, we're going to be poised to try and make downtown feel differently, even late at night.
I mentioned I was going to have you on Twitter, and I raised, if you could ask one question to the chief, what would you ask at Chad Hartman Show? Among the texts, because this is another topic I wanted to address. the toxic masculinity and inherent race problems in police departments and unions that often leads to inconsistent policing, resulting in the deaths of black and brown people, and Minnesota has a reputation in this area. What do you say to people of color who will not only talk anecdotally, but talk data and say, we just don't believe we're treated the same way?
Sure. Well, I do think it is a fact that there are disparities in law enforcement data in general across the country. And I think the reality is that police are oftentimes dealing with the result of a number of historical factors that create these certain concentrations of crime and violence. And oftentimes, you know, we all know what these causes are. It's historical issues around poverty, around redlining, around lack of investment, around, you know, poor education, poor health, lack of food, and all these types of things. But I think our responsibility as professionals is to ensure that we have processes and systems in place, that we are often, you know, and systematically reviewing that data to identify where outliers may be, to see how we should adjust what we're doing to try and minimize disparities as much as possible. And I think that's something that's going to be the focus point of both the state and federal consent decree once we have it. And I know there's technology and there's other solutions that we can implement to try and minimize that as much as possible. At the same time, we have to acknowledge that we do have, particularly in communities of color in this city, we have very real and very urgent problems around gun violence and serious street crime, and we have to recognize that the police cannot normalize any of that and need to respond to each incident as urgently and as thoroughly as possible, because that crime and those matters of violence are the linchpin that hold all those historical issues together. So it's something that I take very seriously, and I will ensure that every member of the department takes very seriously as well.
Last thing, and again, we thank Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara for coming on the show. We hope we can get him on a number of times moving forward. We have changes with the police oversight panel, but a lot of people have raised this, including in an op-ed in the Star Tribune today, that if it's an oversight panel and the mayor gets his picks, and the city council, they get their picks, is it really an oversight panel as opposed to citizens who are separate from the council, separate from the mayor's office, playing a more prominent role, and it would have more independence in that manner?
So I don't think, because it's a matter that's currently being debated by the council in legislation, I don't think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. I do not think it's appropriate for me to comment on it. I do not want to be seen as trying to sway the political process one way or the other. I can simply tell you that clearly civilian oversight is an essential mechanism of having policing in the United States. And of course, we have real issues in this city, just like many others, around ensuring that there's a sense of legitimacy in the process, both for resolving citizen complaints and in general for having civilian oversight. And I think it's clear that we need to have a system that is effective, that does not take too long for officers to be held accountable, and that has some sense of legitimacy both in the community as well as from the officers themselves. I don't think, you know, discipline in policing, you know, necessarily needs to be extreme in every single case, but it's certainly not effective if it's not able to be done close in time to when bad behavior occurs. So I think there's certainly work to be done, and I'm hopeful, you know, from things that I have seen, changes I have seen here in the existing structure, that we'll be able to work together to make discipline more effective and something that everyone views legitimately.
I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much. We'll reach out again.
Thanks so much, Chad.
The police chief of Minneapolis, Brian O'Hara, at any point. In fact, let's do this. You want to react to things that you thought really stood out, that you were pleased with, that you were disappointed with, something that was a little atypical, that was unexpected. You want to send me a text or you want to call? We'll have a little bit of time to react when we come back. I know a few things stood out to me, and also share some of the comments I've heard from other people who have dealt with the new police chief. You can track us down at any point. I'm going to give you Dave Harrigan's phone number later. You can just call him later if you'd like. But right now, it's Cities One Talk and text line, 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,